time to light the match for the Burning Truth with Casey Hendrickson.
Good afternoon. Thank you for tuning in to The Burning Truth. I am your host, Casey Hendrickson. Joining us on the line, and we do this almost every Thursday, Representative Jim Banks. He's the representative from Indiana's 3rd Congressional District. Congressman, how are you doing this afternoon? We got him now? Congressman, can you hear me? There we go. We got you now. Yeah, we got you now, buddy.
All right.
Sorry about that.
Good to be with you.
It's a week's going well. How's yours? You've had an interesting one. I'll give you that.
It's been another wild and interesting week. Frankly, a disappointing week. I'm just beside myself that the Republican leadership would sell out again and focus more on what's going on in Ukraine than they're focused on what's going on at our own southern border. And over the next 48 hours, you're going to see a lot more Republicans again vote like Democrats and give in and vote for something that I think is disgraceful.
So you have the Freedom Caucuses come out against this America Last package for Ukraine. And I know that the Republican Party is split on what to do with Ukraine. But I think the issue, forget about whether or not you want to back Ukraine or not, just for a second. We got to set that aside for people listening. The issue is that we're funding border security for other places when we're not funding it for the United States. And we've got hundreds of millions of dollars that are being thrown into Middle Eastern borders. You've got all this stuff happening in Ukraine. Meanwhile, the border security in the United States continues to be eroded. No, the bipartisan Senate package was not a border security bill. Anybody telling you that is a liar. There was a border security bill that you and your fellow Republicans in the House did pass months ago that they won't actually take up in the Senate. But, you know, now you've got even people like Representative Massey, Congressman. Massey is not like a guy who wants to remove speakers, and he's out there going, look, I'm with Marjorie Taylor Greene on this. Like, this guy's got to go.
Yeah, I mean, you could convince me to vote to oust Speaker Johnson if you could convince me that we don't end up with a Democrat speaker in the process. So that I'm not convinced of that, but I'm open to being convinced of that. What I am convinced of is Speaker Johnson lied to us. He told us that we wouldn't pass a Ukraine aid package without securing our own border. And in this another $60 billion for Ukraine in this package, specifically $8.3 billion of which is for Ukraine's police and border guard. And we couldn't get $5 billion even when President Trump was in the White House to fund building the wall from many of the same Republicans in the Senate and the House. So on that front, this is just, it's a non-starter with me. I've told Hoosiers all over the state, I'm not going to vote for more money for Ukraine until we secure our own border. This does the opposite, and I'm really disappointed, as you can tell by it.
Yeah, they keep kicking it down the road, and then nothing ever gets done. Meanwhile, you know, our border gets worse, other borders get more secure. It's very frustrating, and I can sense your frustration. Trust me, we all have it as well. You also did have kind of an interesting moment with the president of Colombia, though, and you even looked at the board and asked the board for their opinion when you were like, hey, what's this folks word, F-O-L-X? And the president of Colombia is like, I don't know, they suck at spelling. I'm like, well, this is Colombia. Like, you shouldn't suck at spelling at Colombia, for crying out loud.
Yeah, look, I didn't go to an Ivy League school, so I was actually curious about, you know, what does it mean? What is that? What F-O-L-K-S is how I would spell folks. So what's with the X? And, you know, she sharply responded and said that maybe her own students at this very expensive, by the way, Ivy League school.
Yeah.
By the way, the School of Social Work is where this glossary is passed out that is filled with these bizarre, wacky, and somewhat downright offensive terms. So one thing that I wondered, Casey, is the School of Social Work at Columbia University, an Ivy League school, who the heck is going there and getting a job that comes anywhere near what they're paying for that Ivy League education
with a
social work job? So, but that, maybe that's beside the point. But what I can tell you about Columbia University is it's the birthplace of things like critical race theory and a lot of the wacky left-wing ideologies that are plaguing our country today. And I wanted to ask the president about that. I mean, she she quickly claimed that this glossary that I was waving around in the committee and reading words and terms from was a student led initiative. However, it was linked on their school's website, and many of these terms are frequently used in their classes. Even after the hearing yesterday, I received several phone calls from students, former students, even some faculty who reached out and said that these terms are frequently used at the university, and they're left-wing ideological terms. Many of them are racist terms, like Ashkenormativity is a anti-Semitic term, and that was on the glossary. So it was a pointed, tense 5-minute back and forth with the president of Columbia, and she had a couple of her board members there. And I always wonder with these trustees of these Ivy League schools who come from, you know, they're very wealthy elite backgrounds with you know, obviously high net worth and big businesses. And at one point do they get embarrassed and realize that this is embarrassing for their families to be a board of trustee member of a school like Columbia? But they didn't seem to be too ashamed of it yesterday.
Well, wasn't there one guy that said it was a deeply, deeply offensive term? One guy who said that?
He did. Yeah, they all seem to agree with that. But I think the fact of the matter is that these terms, but also this culture is prevalent at Columbia like it is at Harvard and other schools. And the point that we're making on the Education Committee, I mean, this is one, I think, bright spot out of a few of the Republican majority, is putting pressure on these elitist schools who are receiving literally hundreds of millions of dollars in federal research dollars and federal funding. At the end of the day, we need to take away that federal funding from schools that create a hotbed of anti-Semitism and become places of indoctrination and propaganda, pushing propaganda rather than teaching kids.
You know, it's from with the whole folks thing, and I just happened to also do a story yesterday on the new CEO because the business editor, you know, was suspended and then resigned for criticizing NPR. So the new CEO at NPR, apparently, in one of the tweets that was put out there in 2019, used that word, F-O-L-X. And I'm like, well, son of a gun, isn't this a wonderful coinkydink that this ultra-woke CEO of NPR is coming in at the same time that Congressman Banks is having this back and forth with the president of Columbia University, which is where, by the way, a lot of the journalists that everybody read every single day, they go to the Columbia University School of Journalism. And it's kind of interesting that this thing has been out there and I hadn't even known it. And I do this for a living. I tend to find these terms pretty easily, but that's the first I'd ever heard of it.
Yeah, if you didn't think the pronoun movement was wacky, you're really going to think this white folks with an X or Jewish folks with an X, you're really going to find this to be bizarre. And that was what I was trying to point out in this exchange yesterday, but you're right. I mean, the new CEO of NPR, federally, another organization that's federally funded, receiving our federal taxpayer dollars, is a hotbed of propaganda and left-wing ideologies. And the new CEO comes from the same cloth of these radical university professors and faculty members, like what we find at Columbia and Harvard and elsewhere.
You know, maybe if Republicans, hopefully, if you know, you get into the Senate, Republicans, you know, build on their lead in the House and take the Senate, maybe we can get back to defunding them. Remember a few years ago when we were trying to defund PBS and NPR, they had a whole ad campaign on how they shouldn't be defunded because it really isn't all that much money and they don't make their money off of federal dollars anyway. They're self-sufficient elsewhere. So there's no reason to defund them. And it's like, you just made the case to defund you. And so maybe we just need to revisit that. I also wanted to ask you, too, because, you know, it's not just immigration packages that are passing in the House and going to the Senate and then not getting heard. But also, I mean, you all sent the articles of impeachment for Alejandro Mayorkas over there. The Senate quickly dispatched them. Not a big surprise, but I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Well, they did it. The Senate, you know, quickly dismissed the articles of impeachment against Secretary Mayorkas because they know how devastating this conversation is for them heading into the November election. A wide open border is the biggest issue facing our country today, and the Democrats are directly responsible for it. And if you held a hearing in the Senate over impeaching Secretary Mayorkas, then the public would, in a very transparent way, is going to learn more about what this administration has done to wreck this country with drugs and crime and 10 million illegals and the biggest humanitarian crisis we've ever seen in our country's history at the southern, going on at the southern border. So I'm not surprised by it either, but in the couple of dozen or so times that impeachment has actually passed out of the House, this has never happened before, that that impeachment went to the Senate and there wasn't a hearing involved with it. But that's the new precedent that Chuck Schumer has set.
It's almost like we need a whole host of new senators over there, right, Congressman?
That's right. I'm doing my part and running hard in Indiana. I was with a few other candidates today, Dave McCormick in Pennsylvania, Bernie Moreno in Ohio, Governor Hogan in Maryland, other candidates around the country that are running hard to beat Democrats and win back a Senate majority. That's what we have to do to save our country, and Indiana is going to be on the front lines of that.
All right. Throw the campaign website out there so people can support you, Congressman.
Find us at banksforsenate.com or look for me online. Appreciate the feedback and all the support.
I appreciate it. Thank you for your time. We'll talk to you next week.
Have a good day.
All right, you too. Congressman Jim Banks, Indiana's 3rd District, also running for Senate. We got more coming up. You're tuned into The Burning Truth.
podcasts by Federated Media.